Journey to Wellness in Indian Country on KUMD is funded in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This morning, our guest is Princella Redcorn with the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center, and they popped up in the news recently because the folks that made the movie Wind River, it's a new movie that's just out. It was here in town a little while back. They had contracted originally with the Weinstein Company to distribute the movie, and the director and writer of the film, Taylor Sheridan, and the principal financier showed up at the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center in Lame Deer, Montana, with a surprise at the end of October. Princella Redcorn joins us this morning to tell us more about the surprise and about the work of the center. Hi, Princella. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
That must have been a wonderful day when these folks stopped into the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center and said, "Hey, guess what? We work for this big movie, and can we sit down and talk for a few minutes? Tell us what they decided to do and why they came to visit."
Yeah. Well, originally they were going to visit our main office to. Early November, they were helping us to host a fundraiser for NAWRC because Taylor Sheridan and his group are now producing a series, a TV series called Yellowstone, and they were filming in Montana. They were filming in Helena, Montana at the time, so they wanted to stop by the main office, so we had that set up and ready to go. What we didn't know when they arrived at the office was that the whole Harvey Weinstein drama scandal that was going on in the news was tied to his previous film, Wind River, which is about the murder, well, actually not a murder, but it's the death of a Native American woman on the Wind River Reservation. So when they showed up at our main office, they let us know the news that the feature distribution royalties from the film Wind River will now be directed towards NAWRC, whereas before they were going to be going to the Weinstein Company because they were the distributor. And so we were just kind of blown away with the news. We still had our fundraiser in Helena, Montana, and then we're working currently on our agreement and contracting things in place to start receiving these distribution royalties. So great news.
And that's money, it would seem, that would come along fairly regularly, you know, as people continue to, I mean, as the movie continues to be shown and then people buy copies of it or they stream it online, whatever that might be. Did they give you an indication of how much money this could turn out to be?
I think it was for the life of, so they would come in, you know, into the future. We don't know an exact number because, you know, each film is different, and this would be for the streaming rights. So if anytime anybody streams the film, buys a DVD, things like that. And so
right.
they're estimating a high couple hundred to million to, we just don't know. So we're just trying to get prepared, our paperwork and things like that. And once we have that in place, our board of directors and staff members will start brainstorming ways that we would want to use this money to help address violence against Native women.
Boy, you're going to be able, at least you'd think that you'd be able to really expand in terms of getting people out to do education and really becoming maybe doing some really high-profile work. Talk about what the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center does, because you are a resource, as the name suggests, to different organizations all around the state. I was just driving in northern Minnesota last week, and I saw a billboard that said something about missing and murdered Indigenous women. And so I came back, and I did a Google search, and I did that with Minnesota, and it didn't take me too many clicks before it led me back to the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. So again, you're helping tribes and communities all over the country. Talk a little bit about the work that you do.
Yes. So we are grant funded through the Family Violence Prevention Services Act. So we call that FISPA. And that's mainly, our grant is directed towards domestic violence against Native women and children. And in that work, there's a spectrum of violence that connects domestic violence to sex trafficking, to missing and murdered Indigenous women, and to sexual assault. You know, all of these acts of violence against Native women are all connected. And so that's something we've had to make those connections and make them known that, you know, when there's domestic violence, there's also these other pieces of violence that come into play. So we're really working to address domestic violence and violence against Native women and children. We're a national resource center, so that means we don't provide direct service to survivors or anything like that. We educate the public on the issues that this is, you know, violence against Native women is really disproportionate to, you know, violence against any other group of women. We experience rates at higher levels, extremely high levels, and we're just trying to get that news out in general. So that we have a public education piece. We do training and technical assistance to domestic violence shelters and domestic violence tribal programs, you know, things like that. So we're really a resource center for the direct service providers for survivors. And so we really try to get, you know, a unified voice out there. So we do that. We also do policy work in Washington, D.C., where we hold health briefings for staffers and just a lot of educational pieces that way. I don't think I'm forgetting anything here. Oh, we also have a youth component. So we have a group called Native Love within our organization that goes around the country into different tribal youth programs and really try to readdress the issue of healthy dating relationships there, redefine what Native love is, because it is not black eyes and it is not hickeys, but where it is more about respect and getting to traditional values. And so that's another component of the work that we do. But we are a national resource center, so we go all across the country.
Princella, what is your best information suggesting about why Native women are so vulnerable? Those statistics that you mentioned are statistics that maybe people have heard over and over, that Native women are vulnerable to violence, rape, sexual assault, sex trafficking at high, as you mentioned, rates that are completely disproportionate to the rest of the population. Why are they so vulnerable?
Yes. Well, a lot of those statistics come from studies by the National Institute of Justice and the Center for Disease Control. So that's where we really try to use statistics that are funded by the government and just to show what's going out there. So we have more information like that on our website. And one of the main reasons that we try to help people understand why there is all this violence kind of reaches back to the beginnings of our country and colonization of Native American peoples, assimilation into popular culture. And a lot of times when there's this assimilation going on, assimilation is more of trying to blend into mass culture. And that really ties back to, you know, Indian boarding schools and where children went and were, you know, had violence inflicted upon them for speaking their language, for dressing, you know, traditionally in traditional clothes, you know, and things like that. So basically, the motto was to kill the Indian and save the man. And so now, you know, coming back to today, the effects of that have been violence that have gone through the families and have gone to the community. A lot of these acts of violence against Native women in particular have a high rate of non-Native perpetrators. And, you know, there's, you know, some of the statistics are a little skewed because of a lot of people, a lot of survivors in general, you know, generally don't report the violence that has happened against them. And so these are just, you know, very brave individuals that have reported, and these are the statistics that we do have. So, but I just wanted to mention that.
Princella, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and congratulations on an absolutely wonderful windfall for you folks, and it's going to do so much and enable you to do so much to expand your reach and the good work that you do. Thanks again for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. Have a good morning.
You too. Princella Redcorn joined us this morning. She is with the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. Journey to Wellness in Indian Country on KUMD is funded in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.